I guess I could probably turn to any of Paul's epistles, practically all of them. In his the beginning of each one of his letters, most of them, in his salutation, he says either these words or close to it, same meaning in the second verse, usually in the second verse, sometimes in the first, but I'm just looking at Philippians, chapter 1, verse 2. Grace be unto you and peace. So he's wanting grace to be unto the Philippians, and we know how he felt. He thanked his God for every remembrance of them. Grace be unto you and peace. So obviously two different things. We know that, realize it. From God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, from both of those. And again, I can't explain the Trinity, three in one Godhead and so forth. We kind of have each of us our own grasp on that concept, that truth. Grace be unto them and peace from, and that's the source of it, of course. I want to talk about peace some this morning. First had both grace and peace. I mean, both large subjects. Grace simply, and I will typically kind of pass over. We know what grace is, and very simply, it's unmerited favor. But I don't stop to think about that. So if we could just stop and think, if you get something, anything, if it's material or spiritual, whatever it is, if you experience something that you don't deserve, which is good, which something that you don't deserve. Now, first place I'm thinking a lot of people may go as well. I got hit by a car and the other day, had a wreck. I didn't deserve that. You know, I'm not talking about that. I probably do deserve that. I did not get hit by a car, by the way. We saw a wreck over the weekend in San Antonio. But if you receive something, now I'm thinking if we come to church and there's not as many people as typically is here. And I know when I was a kid, it was a lot that I would normally equate, for instance, good song service with the number of people. It's not right. You know, I know you get a huge crowd, a huge choir or something, and together and trained and all that. But that's not always the case. I think I mentioned before, and I mean, today singing was just beautiful and all, but it's from God. It's unmerited favor. It's grace, by grace. Grace didn't just save us from our sin. Grace saves us every day. It gives us things. It gives us that peace, the true peace, from God the Father and Jesus Christ, the Lord. True peace. I do remember, I was probably more of a teenager when this hit me, but we used to have in Houston at Grace Church, we had our conference every third Saturday night. So we'd go on Saturday night, have our regular Sunday, monthly, deal that every church seems to have that, but on third Sunday. But anyway, we'd go some Saturday nights, and in Houston, you didn't much want to get out at night. Anyway, we had a lot of older folks and all, wouldn't be very many people. And I'd always think, oh, the singing's just not going to be good. And that's my lack of my faith. I could have three people there. One, I guess. And, you know, our singing would be blessed. But then I saw, oh, the singing was just blessed. And I was taught a lesson in that. I didn't deserve that. I don't think I was questioning the grace of God and his blessings upon us, not thinking, well, he can bless this. I've seen that in a lot since that time, whenever that was in my life, where when something turns out really well and I headed into it, thinking this is not going to work out very well. And then it does, and you go away with even more. Maybe you learn something from it. Maybe you learned something about someone else that you didn't know. That's, well, I'm glad to know that about them. You know, grace, just to kind of put this to bed here, and I'll actually circle back around at the end and bring it back together to a certain extent, but just unmerited favor. Just think about the things you get, whether it's a gift, a physical present that you unwrap and open. That was unmerited. Now, I know that children can be punished for things like, well, I was going to give you this, but you know, you weren't acting that well in the store the other day, so I'm going to hold off on that. You know, kind of some of that. But if you receive a gift, you didn't do anything to earn that. Grace, unmerited favor, it's nothing earned. Now you jump right to your eternal salvation, not earned. We weren't there. We certainly weren't there when Jesus died for our sins. Now, physically, we were represented there.
Amen.
Represented there. We were not there when God chose us. We weren't there. And yet, we're not eternal children. We're not eternal going back. Well, there was a starting place for us when we were conceived and then born into this world and so forth. So we're not. But God knew us even then. Just so blessed that attribute that he has. But I want to go now just with that being mentioned and how Paul said, "Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and the Son Jesus Christ, our Lord." That's where it comes from. And also, as I turn to the second chapter of the book of Romans now, there's many times where I thought I was at peace. I thought, okay, everything. I was content, maybe, and all. And many times we are, but that's from God, that true peace. If I think that something that I went out and bought or got through not earning it and all, it's like, this is just what I wanted and all, and I have some enjoyment in that, and I'm happy and all and have some peace. I'm calm and as much stress as there is in the world. But if it's not of God, if God doesn't bless you with that, and I think I may go to this verse where it talks about peace which passeth all understanding. And I believe I've mentioned this in the last couple of years since I've been here that when we truly see that, when it's revealed to us, is when we have or we are experiencing something really terrible. And somehow in that, we still feel that peace from God. We can do that. All of a sudden, we have some hope there. Maybe it's more than even just a glimmer. Maybe it's full-blown hope that we have that just brings us out of that. And yet God knows what he's doing. He knows his timing on things and how long we maybe need to suffer through something. But even when we come out of that, it's by grace. It's unmerited. When you think about that, we really should have been, when Adam broke the law in the Garden of Eden, and here's the punishment, death, eternal death, and then that passed upon all mankind, everyone, race of Adam, everyone then at that point, then that's what we deserve, eternal death there. And so if we think about that and then go to this unmerited favor of grace, that great gift of Jesus Christ that we didn't earn, and then everything off of that, like we mentioned, or I should say, like I mentioned, but over and over, that the fact that we realize that it's one thing to be saved by Jesus Christ totally, completely, but it's another thing to know that, so we can. It's life changing. It should change our lives on how we act. We should then act as if we're trying to work our way to heaven, but we're not. But that's how we should act, you know. And that in saying that, making this statement, don't. And as I as during the song service, and I this happens to me a lot. I usually know what I've already got on my mind, unless God changes it, what subject and all. So I begin even from the first song, "God Will Take Care of You," that Roger, Brother Roger led. I thought, okay, God will take, giving us peace in our life, and He takes care of us in that way. And so, okay, that really applies. Every song I can usually apply every song to what I'm thinking and all. Not always, and maybe one or two that don't, and that's fine. But I saw so many today about His grace and the peace that we have through Him and from Him. So in this second chapter of Romans, I didn't go here last Sunday, but I mentioned the meaning of one of these verses in this second chapter of Romans that I believe I'll end up here in reading just four verses and then jump over to 1 Corinthians. Second verse begins, "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things." I certainly can apply that to me. I've literally, you know, judged someone. Maybe I didn't even know them. They've done something there in my presence in a store, grocery store, or on the street or something, probably in traffic, but that's the worst. They do some, and so I become judgmental. You know, they shouldn't have done that. I think Will just got his drive. Did you get your driver's license? You just turned 16, so you'll get it soon. I'm sorry to bring that up, Brother Kevin, but Madison got hers. Madison Jones just recently. But I see something, and I become judgmental, and then I realize, I've done that exact same thing, you know. Oh, but that's different. That was me. It's okay then, and also I have to be careful about judging someone else that's gone through something. And then we know the saying, you know, "Except by the grace of God, there go I," and that would be the case in whatever you think of just about anything. We have to be careful about judging and all. You know, it would be better, rather, that I help them if it's something that I can be blessed to do. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. Just leave it to God. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? So if you do the same, shalt thou escape the judgment of God? Now this is what I want. It's leading up to this. Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? So I mentioned that it's God that leads us to repentance. It's more specifically, it's the goodness of God. And I'm thankful that that's happened to me as well, that I wasn't so much being chastised by an angry father, spiritual father, whatever it is, that He's just and right in doing that, but I would see His goodness. And then I realized, well, Lord, I just did this, whatever it is, yelled at that guy in traffic when he didn't even hear me. And I know I have a problem with traffic, apparently. But again, born and raised in Houston, learned to drive there, moved to Dallas, and now we have kids in San Antonio. I would see something, a goodness of God, and then I would realize, and that would cause me to repent of whatever that was. So it was nothing. It's like, I just had a blowout. Boy, I guess I shouldn't have been thinking that or saying that. No, it's something good, a goodness of God. And even the goodness when we're chastised through His love, it's still the goodness of God. that leadeth thee to repentance. So obviously last Sunday I spoke on repentance, if you weren't here, but I began to think of this, the goodness of God, and I think about the peace that we have when we actually truly repent of something. And if you think about that, sometimes maybe times that it's not so much such a deep change or a difficult change, but sometimes we're battling ourselves and our humanity, and it's difficult. And then we start rationalizing, well, this isn't really bad and all, but gosh, if we're really thinking about it, then God's probably put that on our heart. But then true repentance through godly sorrow and through the goodness of God, once you get there, there's peace in that. Amen. There's peace in it. Now, immediately I begin to work, oh, I'm gonna turn and go back into it, or whatever it is, you know, and all. But you work on that. That's why I say we don't have to worry about our eternal home in heaven. Jesus Christ has got that locked up. But so these are the things we have to worry about and do is our lives here in the world, and this peace. That's what I'm talking about. I'll end up on another one here in a moment, but the peace in this life and contentment has a lot to do with that. Now, in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and this can be applied in different ways, but there's a phrase and word in here that kind of points one direction. In the 33rd verse of that 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. So if there is a period behind peace there, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. That's true. And in anything, he's not the author of confusion. If I have confusion in my life and stress and just anxiety, and that's happened, and it's not just at work. It can be family matters, church matters. And in fact, that's what here it says, but of peace as in all churches of the saints. If we have peace in the church, of course, in the church overall, the church that Jesus Christ set up, or in a local body of a particular location, if there's peace there, number one, that's certainly received through unmerited favor, by grace. So again, grace is not just, oh, I'm going to heaven, saved from my sin, washed of my sins, but it's in life. We have grace. And you can even say, for by grace are ye saved. A lot of times in life as well. There's different salvations. We know that. But if we have peace in the churches, it's of God. It says it right there for one thing in black and white, but of peace as in all the churches. For God is not the author of confusion. That you could say, but God is the author of peace. And again, that's true peace. And I don't have to. I can't at the time grab hold of an example in my life where I thought, well, I'm in peace now and all content and all. I'm usually not, because then immediately I think, well, what's going to happen to change that? What am I going to do to mess this up? And that's certainly a possibility. And as my mom used to say, we would tease her. She, it's going to rain outside today. Go to Disney World. Just a wonderful place and all. Go to Disney. It's going to rain today. And then, maybe it's just going to be like, go outside, it's sun. Oh, the sun's shining. I said, be optimistic. She'd call it realistic. Not pessimistic, realistic. That was her. It's like, well, be optimistic and all. But so many times I'm not optimistic. I think I'm gonna mess something up, say something wrong to someone. But the author of true peace is God, and that I believe I've seen that ebb and flow in my life. I sure look for it. And if repentance does all that stuff, that I mentioned last Sunday, and that we, at the end of that, at the successfulness of true repentance, we have peace from God and Jesus Christ, then I want to run for it. I want to grab hold of, okay, how do I do this? And I only got to do it right. And because I know that peace is going to be there at the end of that. Let me jump to Romans 5 and 1. Romans 5, 1. And this describes us as well. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So here we have peace, just like Paul's salutation, grace be among you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, both. So we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He has gotten us even that. He has saved us eternally. He has washed our sins away. And he has given us this peace. But we are being justified by faith. Okay, so if we're not justified by faith, we don't have peace with God, is what that it says to me. You kind of flip that around. There, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Well, if we're justified by faith, now that's already after you have been justified and born again by God Almighty, by the Holy Ghost. This is not going to be the case. Obviously, just how it's, why would I have peace with a being, with an entity, with God, I'm alienated from him. I'm an enemy, active enemy toward him and all. But being justified by faith. But this isn't something it's like, well, okay, I need to do this. Justification by faith is it, you draw from your faith and it declares, being justified here doesn't mean that I make myself righteous exercising my faith. It, in faith, in exercising your faith, through faith, you within yourself, in within your own courtroom, are declared righteous. And so that's when you know your mind, your heart, it's together. There's reconciliation there and there's peace with God because you realize, I've been declared righteous, and now I realize that. There's peace in that. Amen. In life. There is peace. Whenever we experience something else, that's what we draw on. That's what God blesses us to draw upon, mm-hmm. is that peace through our faith. And then we take a deep breath. It's not that repentance that I spoke about last Sunday of where God repented that he'd made Saul a king, and that breathing out just exasperated and aggravated with someone or something and all. This is a sigh of relief, of peace, and you have that. And it's through grace that we have that. That's right. The same grace whereby Jesus saved us and the Holy Ghost applied that salvation eternally to us, so that then we have the ability to be justified by faith. Justification by works, I'll just go ahead and mention this, there will be people. Now, we can see the fruit of the Spirit exhibited by someone who has been born of the Spirit, born again. And all, you see the fruit of the Spirit. Someone that's sincerely kind, helpful, or you see tears of joy when they're reading the words and or singing a song or during a prayer and so forth. We see that fruit serving God's children in the world and so forth. But justification by faith, that can happen. You walk by someone, you don't even know it. Maybe they were just justified by faith. They were reconciled. And some of them have... It's not like, well, I don't believe God can do that or Jesus can save me from all my sin. No, it's the fact that I'm too bad, sinful, to be saved. He wouldn't save me. They're not justified by faith. They're not declared righteous because I'm not righteous. It's that direction. Satan will glob onto that as well. And then if someone thinks, well, yeah, I'm righteous because of all this good that I've done, he'll glob onto that. You know, oh, yeah, you're good. You're good. And can cause, you know, that's what all we're doing in life is fighting all this stuff and trying to go toward this peace. This is now, here, and every day. Every day. And I would much rather talk about, repentance isn't a bad subject. It's not, I don't believe it's negative. There is some duty that we have in doing that, and have to handle our humanity and fight that and all that. So there's some negativity in that, but it's really wonderful. And certainly if you're successful at that, then you know that God needs you here for yet another day to do something. You have a purpose here. And so we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, being justified by faith. Justification by works, I was going to get to this, let me mention before I move on, is you see someone that they're justified, declared that they are righteous, they're born again, and this is part of the fruit of the Spirit being exhibited by that tree there, that person, but that justification by works, you see that. It's the courtroom of all mankind, of men and women that see that by faith. Justification by faith is within a person, a child of God. It's not, it's internal. It's between you and God. And that's it. And we're justified by the blood of Christ on the cross is where we're justified. Now, in the Gospel of Mark, the fourth chapter, if I can get out of John and into Mark, here we go. Fourth chapter. This is an example, and this one of the songs that was selected, It Is I, talked about the storm and so forth. And all in the 39th verse of this fourth chapter of the Gospel of Mark, on the sea, on the ship, and so forth, Jesus Christ here is he, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. So he calmed physically, literally, right there, that sea, he calmed it. All he had, and if you think about it, he created it. Why couldn't he calm it? He can do anything. He created everything. So Jesus Christ did. Yes, he was there. Think, oh, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, Jesus Christ was right there. He was God as well. Peace, be still, and the wind ceased, just like that. And there was a great calm. Now, that was physically something that there was peace there. All of a sudden, this storm was gone. The sea was still and tranquil and calm. But in our lives, we can certainly work toward peace in our lives by how we live and what we concentrate on. One thing is coming to church and being around other folks that are like-minded, and then thinking, well, okay, today I'm actually going to listen to the gospel preach. I'm going to listen to the sermon, and I'm going to read the poetry that are in the songs. Then we're that certainly helps us attain and obtain this peace, which passeth all understandings. I've been in the situation where I'm going through things at work. Terrible boss or all projects that are coming due, been working late nights and so forth it's in turmoil. And so even going to church, you're thinking about, I got to get home this afternoon and do some work, or tomorrow morning early, I got to make up for the fact that I came to church and get back to work and stuff like that. And then if there's not only that or not even that, but trouble in the church. We're all not immune to the conflict and all that we have. We're all human, and we're sinners, saved by grace. But yeah, I know my human nature comes out. There's another one where, you know, Kathy wasn't here last Sunday, and she could have amened something I said, and now today there's that. Yeah, my human nature comes out from time to time and all. But we can work toward that peace, but there's other times where God Almighty, Jesus Christ, injects that to us. The peace that we have when we are so far gone into anxiety and stress, worried about something. I did that even as young as middle school, junior high school, we called it, and all these things going on, and mean kids and so forth. But so you don't know how to, and you're trying to find a solution. No, God can give you the solution. As you grow older, you may think, well, I haven't seen that. I'm. You know, 10 years old, 6 years old, whatever. I haven't seen it. But as you grow older, you experience things, but you look for the good in those and realize it's the goodness of God, but you learn how to handle it, and you then see the good in it afterwards. Or you see the goodness of God and glorify Him in spite of the wickedness in this world. So then in that, He's glorified. He will be glorified. And so in our lives, he says, peace, be still. If you think, I think, well, yeah, that was an ocean and or a sea, and a sea there that he said, peace, be still, and it calmed, it was tranquil. But if you don't think that he can say those words, peace, be still, to you and cause peace in your life, well, then you're mistaken. Mm-hmm. He can. And if you think, he probably has of something you've experienced, and sometimes that's a difficult thing. Now in John, Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, John 14, John 14, Jesus Christ speaking toward the end of that chapter. He says, peace, it's 27th verse, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. His peace, he's the author of it, it's his peace. And we don't do anything to deserve that. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Not as the world giveth. That's that piece where I think maybe I got it, got this. You know, this I got to think of some different examples, because even now Blu-ray players are not even, that's old technology too. But, oh, I got this new Blu-ray player. I can watch all these movies and whatever shows, whatever it is and all. And I'm sitting there on the couch. I think, I'm at peace. Everything's good. And it's not. That's of the world. That's what the world can give you. And it's short-lived. That's the thing. You may be okay for a while, but then it's short-lived. This peace that he left with them and with us and gives us just goes on, and it goes deep as well. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. It is I. Yeah, in the storm and its fury. But let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. This peace that he gives us. So just watch, if nothing else, just watch at what goes on in your life and judge, I feel good and all, is this something that God maybe has given me? This peace that I have, or this contentment. You can even interchange those words, contentment in your life, that you have true contentment. Because that's difficult for me as well. But if you do that, if you stop to think about that, then if you recognize, yes, that's God that's given me this peace right now. Now, if I fell and hurt myself, you know, I'm bleeding, or I hurt, bumped my head on something, or somebody took something of mine and all, and then you somehow a peace comes over you. Just think about if that's from God, And I tell you what, you're glorifying Him right then. I'll counsel you to glorify God at any time. We come to church to worship God. You can glorify God. You praise Him, yourself and all. We come here to worship Him in the service that he set up. That I think it was Brother Roger that mentioned this service and all. But now let me jump to Philippians chapter 4. And I'll start wrapping this up. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, verse 4, Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." He's near. He's here. "Be careful for nothing." That doesn't mean, it's not telling y'all not to be careful when you're out doing something. It's be full of care for nothing. Don't worry about things. There's a big one I have to work on. All these things I have, I feel bad. Anyway, be careful for nothing. Don't be full of care about things. You were supposed to put our cares on God. Roll them all off onto God. When you do that, that's a weight lifted off of you, and then He has it. He'll take that worry or concern or that anxiety or a physical condition. We hear stories about someone who is terminally ill or just seriously ill, and their loved ones are around, and the person that's sick is in such a great frame of mind. Just they're fine. They have that peace there, and that's of God that they've been blessed with. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Let it be made known to God. Now, I can then say, okay, well, God knows everything, though. He knows what we need before we ask. You know, you can have these contrasting thoughts. But make known by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. If you do that, certainly tells God, I think He thinks that I can fix this. And He knows if you believe that or not. And I do. Sometimes I doubt, nope, I'm evil, I'm wicked, I'm sinful. I know You can fix this, but I don't think You will. So I guess I'm saying, oh, You're sovereign in that. You know, you can twist, rationalize everything. But it says, make your request known to God. Prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So again, it's through Christ. When we sing, there's some songs that He's our all in all. He is everything to us. He is involved in all of this. And there's God right there as well. But this peace that I'm talking about shall keep your hearts and your minds. Two different things. You may feel something in your heart. You're okay. You're all right there. But your mind's going at it. And all, but it shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It'll keep them. It will contain them. It will hold them up. That peace. And so work for that. If you want a works system for salvation, it's here in life. It's to save yourself by trying to obtain this peace and then praying that God will bless you with that when we don't have enough sense to head toward it. And in fact, I can see it there. But then I go this way instead. I may not be talking about any of y'all. but I'm talking about myself. Now, I want to quickly, and I'll close with this. But in Ephesians, the second chapter, certainly bringing back the grace and the peace. But in the eighth verse of that second chapter of Ephesians, of course, you know already, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." Well, also, you think, for by grace, and we receive peace. It's by unmerited favor. We didn't earn it. I think, well, if I'm good, if I'm trying and all, well, I get there's that again, that showing of the fruit of the Spirit, God is pleased with that, and He blesses us. By grace are ye saved through faith. I've talked about both grace and faith and the peace that we have. So not only, this is talking about eternally, we're not saved by works, lest any man should boast. We're saved by grace. Well, also here we are. Here we are. It's the grace of God and mercy. We're saved. 12th verse, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That sounds terrible. Sounds terrible. But that's what condition these people were in that he's talking to. But then he says, in a way, us. But then in the 13th verse, it says, but now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. That puts us in a position then that we are able to have the peace from God, that we're able to turn aside from something there, that by the blood of Christ we're made. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, Jew and Gentile. There's no partition. There's peace there. And you see, even today, you see places where there is no peace physically, and all the battles and so forth, all the Middle East and all. And so we know how humans handle these things, but he is our peace. He did that spiritually. He did this through his blood, for he is our peace, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the active, being an active enemy. Not just someone who's saying, well, I don't believe in God, or no, it's not worth it, or no, an active enemy was like Saul of Tarsus, again, persecuting the church. Enmity is being active in that, being an enemy of God and working at it. Even the law of commandments containing ordinances for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. So all that means, he has brought together Jew and Gentile, and he's reconciled both to God. And you're right now, you're in that position. You're reconciled to God. If you thought, well, I want to be as good as Adam was before he broke the law. No, well, you're that good. But you have the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and so that goodness, when you realize that, then you have peace with God. May God bless you. Keep you.